All right, welcome to the Presidio Bitcoin Jam.
Hey guys, we back, we back.
Back in town.
DK, you're here.
I know, I'm not like a virtual weirdo on the side of the frame anymore. I'm actually
I thought you were an avatar now.
I was trying out my AI slot version of PBJ.
I just assumed, and one thing that's live on my mind right now, if this book means anything to anyone, if this name, Hans Moravec, means anything to anyone, if you know, you know.
We don't know, but can you illustrate or elucidate for those of us who...
If this book means anything to you, Hans Moravec means anything to you, DM me, especially if you're in the Bay Area. I have something of interest for you.
But like...
That's all we got?
Give us a little bit...
All right. Like, a little bit of mystery to start this.
Yeah, no. Well, so Hans Moravec was, I would say... You guys know Ray Kurzweil, of course. Yeah. Okay. Ray Kurzweil, famous for The Singularity Is Near. And Hans Moravec, I would say, is Ray Kurzweil before Ray Kurzweil. So he made a bunch of these predictions in the 1970s. And man, I feel like just watching the pace of technological change, I know we're going to talk about vibe coding was going to lead into, but things are really, really accelerating. And I don't think most people are aware or ready for it. I think there's a lot of excitement, awe, scariness. But his predictions from the 70s are almost like, they're almost perfect.
Did he put,
and so is Kurzweil's from the 90s. They're both perfect.
More of it put dates on any of it?
I have to go back. I mean, I'm still early in this book. He did put like rough time periods. I don't know if he put specific years.
Like pretty, I thought he picked a date, like a year.
He did. And in fact, I would also recommend an easier way to get into this stuff than having to read a book is there's a conversation with Ray Kurzweil and Peter Diamandis last week, YouTube. Highly recommend it. They go and review a lot of his specific predictions and like on the money to the year, I think with like an over 80% hit rate.
Oh.
So anyways, things are moving fast.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. And it's so fucking, it's terrifying, but it's exciting. And anyway, that's where a lot of my head is at and like framing a lot of my thinking.
Did you see that tweet from, is Shane Legg the name of the guy?
Yeah, one of the DeepMind.
Co-founders of DeepMind. And he kind of said something about AGI being near or whatever, which like the DeepMind ethos is not to be like overly hypey. There's to be pretty grounded. And I was like, oh, well, if this guy is kind of finally saying he's feeling the AGI.
Well, it's also interesting.
Non-hype guy.
Well, there's so many different directions we can go, but DeepMind just posted a new job posting for a sort of post-AGI economist.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be really cool if they understood Bitcoin before that happened. Although, as we discussed, you know, when Jack was here and we discussed on the show, maybe the AI has figured out another route. Anyways, point is, you know, we'll talk about in the concreteness of Bitcoin and vibe coding, but like, man, this is, every week that goes by, I'm more AGI built.
Well, if we don't have to do it in the show, but a fun mental exercise is if AI does come up with this new money protocol.
Yeah.
How does distribution policy look like and fairness, right? Because that's a very common discussion in cryptocurrency. Bitcoiners believe that it is like the most fair distribution ever. Right?
Yeah.
Most Bitcoiners believe that. And other cryptocurrencies just are nowhere near Bitcoin's distribution policy and frankly don't really have a chance to. Immaculate conception, some people believe, of Bitcoin, right?
Hard to recreate those conditions.
It is.
So how, you know, thinking about it from an AI perspective, I've not done yet. And like, does that change things? Is it possible to have a fairer distribution?
I think that's a good prompt.
That's a great prompt.
Issue like, hey, like this is how Bitcoin worked. Is there any way to be more fair about that? Because I feel like, you know, there's so low ego and so little emotion in the prompt from, you know, an AI, the response from an AI. Like if you say, oh, most Bitcoiners believe it's fair, non-Bitcoiners are obviously going to say, of course, you guys got rich. So, you know, of course you think it's fair. But like, try to propose what is the most fair distribution. Is it scanning your eyeballs with an orb?
At Gap.
Like, is it one token for every person? Like, what's fair? How do you create fairness?
I mean, the other thing I'll say is I think, you know, my other kind of big obsession has always been Bitcoin as energy money or a thermodynamically sound system. And I think in order for something to displace Bitcoin, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not saying I think this is likely. I think this is a black swan possibility.
Yeah.
I would say my like base case is, you know, 99% Bitcoin is what the AIs are going to use. That's what I'm, you know, thinking about building for, investing for, et cetera. But
did you see the David Marcus tweet on?
No, which one?
About the AI Ethan's he's using.
Oh, he had one a long time ago.
It was last day or so. Matt shared. He said something like, there was some debate where Matt was asking.
Not in your group chat. Sorry.
Sorry. It's the real group chat.
Dude, why don't we just add Matt to the chat? Because I'll tell you guys, I did a pair vibe with Matt yesterday. Anyways, I've got updates for you guys on Flint. And me and Matt had discussed them. Don't want to make you feel a little left out. But.
So I think David Marcus was saying something about how, you know, AIs will choose Bitcoin, you know, kind of for the thing. And Max kind of, or Matt proposed, sorry.
Feeling guilty.
Matt proposed the idea that, oh, well, what about stable coins? Like, wouldn't that be a thing? And Marcus was like, yeah, but like AIs would never trust humans to run their money.
So, I mean, I have a ton of thoughts on that. And there's this guy that's been visiting Presidio Bitcoin. This also relates to our talk about becoming PB, being more AI forward, which Alex and I had a good chat about yesterday. This guy, John Komkov, who is at the Type 1 Summit, he hasn't published yet, but I think it's the best piece of economics I've ever read. It's all about Bitcoin as a thermodynamic system, how the AIs will use Bitcoin as collateral. That's the idea I'm like obsessing over. And I think that like, I either want to incubate something or fund someone to do this. And there's a lot more to discuss. But what I think is critical is, you know, there's a lot. I mean, Bitcoin is permissionless, right? Permission systems are not going to let permissionless AIs use it full stop. So that's just like base starter. But also because Bitcoin is thermodynamically sound, the only way I personally see something displacing Bitcoin is if the AIs figure out some breakthrough in physics and like the second law of thermodynamics doesn't hold anymore. That seems to me, I mean, based on everything we know, impossible. But I also don't rule out the possibility that intelligence can have, basically physical law breakthroughs that we can't imagine.
Mm-hmm. And if we come up with those breakthroughs, OpenAI is going to own some fraction of it, right?
Well, it's, yeah, man. That could be scary. I think it's more important we get Elon and Google on board. But
well, since you raised that, I think you shared a post that compared sort of the strategic advantages that Google has over OpenAI. And I thought that was like super compelling.
Wait, was this not in our group chat either? No,
this is in PBJ. This is in PBJ.
You just don't read my...
Yeah.
That's true too.
He just has his AI agent.
I'm also guilty of that.
So let me see if I can remember at least some of them. And one is that OpenAI has to buy chips from NVIDIA and Google has their own TPU chips. I actually don't know. Do we know... is 100% of Gemini on Google's TPU or just a portion? Is it like...
I believe all training and inference is TPU.
There's very little dependence on NVIDIA.
I think there's no dependence for Google's services, like Google's services that you use, but I think Google has NVIDIA chips
in the cloud
available to sell as part of GCP. That's my understanding.
So that's
my
understanding. An enormous advantage.
Yeah. And credit to DK, you had a tweet like 6 months ago that was like, Google's the next NVIDIA for that reason.
Yeah. I heard a rumor. Is the TPU business getting spun out as another vertical within Alphabet or something?
I haven't seen that.
It's a lie.
What were some of the other reasons? Do you remember in that post?
I think I don't recall the post, but I know a bunch of the ideas resonated because it's stuff I've been talking about with a bunch of friends over the last years. But I mean, like if you own a model, the model is likely to get commoditized. You need to sort of get up to applications and down to infrastructure. And effectively, like Google has like TPUs, tons of real estate and land development and energy assets and infrastructure to like run compute, which is probably like a strong area where you're going to compete in AI. You're not going to compete on just like, oh, we got a better model this week, because like you're going to get leapfrogged on that next week. But if you have really great infrastructure, energy assets, et cetera, capital market advantages, and then you also take above the LLM, you've got like distribution through search. You've got applications like email and calendar that are all made better, like it's something to do with the AI instead of just generically a chat box. You can also generically do the chat box, but that's in a sense not a good way to differentiate. So I think there's been like this huge narrative shift in the last year. Everybody said Google's toast, it's 10 blue links, blah, 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 that's not going to work. Obviously, Google has like the best full stack AI infrastructure. of anybody. And I think that people are finally waking up to that, and they're starting to ask, well, is like just a model provider going to be good enough? And I think the narrative has now shifted where people say no.
So it's really interesting. And I've been kind of obsessing over this, and I think there's two routes we can ultimately take this. I definitely want to talk about VibeCoin, and I have a lot to say on that. But I think this is also interesting to maybe get into the BTC underperformance stuff, because I think this is it's very related. So I've been also kind of obsessing over how the economic returns from all this AI is going to come out. And my kind of position, not financial advice, doing research, blah, blah, blah. My take is basically, there's really only, at the highest level, four companies that matter. Now, to be clear, I think there will be a lot of companies that do well and get gobbled up along the way, including energy infrastructure companies, which is where I'm most focused investing out of my fund. But in terms of like, if you just like said, hey, I have X units of capital, I want to return the most capital possible, how do you do it? I think there's four companies that matter right now. It's Google, XAI, Anthropic, and OpenAI, sadly, with their, but obviously we're hopeful the dystopian vision doesn't win, but they are relevant. So those are the four companies.
Not NVIDIA.
Yeah, actually fine. NVIDIA, Microsoft to a degree, and Amazon to a degree. And it, I would put NVIDIA in the, so let's say five companies really matter. I would put Amazon and Microsoft a tier below. But even with NVIDIA, it's, yeah, the four companies I'm personally interested in.
You're talking about specifically like within the scope of AI?
Within the scope of the world economy. Like, I think this is all
SpaceX.
That matters. Yeah, well, so yes, SpaceX, XAI. I would count all that. Tesla is rolling into like, in
Elon.
My mind, it's
Elon. Let's call it Elon.
Elon Co. Yes. And Elon Co. is right. Super relevant. So in my mind.
Tunnels being dug?
Yeah, probably.
All right.
That, link
to find part of it. To find the mole people. You thought it was going to be Optimus? No, it's the mole people. So from my like kind of like fundamental assessment of where things are going, you know, I think people are extremely underweight how quickly AI is going to disrupt the old world. People talking about the bubble, I've made my view known. I don't think there is a bubble. And even if there is, it's going to be short. I think that we're looking, and that's my point with the Hans Moravec book, we're looking at a civilizational level shift, right? And so it's not just like, oh, it's like a internet IP 99. No, man. This is like agricultural revolution type stuff.
Well, and there was a bubble in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. It was also like, how long was it? Like 2 years at max? So like,
but there are also winners from that era that were so much bigger than all of the bubble talk. So
totally,
It's not to say that everything touching AI automatically wins because it's touching AI. It's like very few probably win. Well, like the ones you mentioned are probably.
This is kind of my point. Like, I think I would never invest in another software company again. Yeah. And there are places I think you can make money as a private early stage investor. To me, that's the hardware energy infrastructure right now. And there's stuff where, or, you know, you have some, you know, like a Bitcoin Lightning routing node that's scarce. We talked about this, like what's scarce? Bitcoin is scarce. Lightning routing node position is scarce. The actual physical energy and compute infrastructure.
Yep.
But my broader point is, if you believe AI is going to just like roll through the economy in the next 3 years, 4 years, which I do by 2030, then those are kind of the four providers that have like some true edges, and it's gonna be really hard for anyone to catch them. And then as I think through those companies, you know, to me, the two that I'm by far the most bullish on are Google and Tesla. Google, for all the reasons you mentioned, and to your point, NVIDIA too, but Google has the NVIDIA piece. It's got the chips. Everyone else is dependent on the chips. You just think like, where's the scarcity? Google has, as you mentioned, the best talent, the best researchers. They've got the best products. They've already got people locked in. I think Google is just like,
another point from that thread is it's non-dilutive, right? There's cash generation that goes to support these things. You don't have to like
raise any debt,
you know, sell shares, dilute. You don't have to do any of that.
100%. The one area that I'm, you know, that we've debated back and forth, and I think there'll be more than one winner. I don't think it's going to be winner take all. It's probably like three or four take all. But I think is Elon Co. And I would still, I think both are great, but like I still might give the edge to Elon Co over Google. And the reason is coming down to energy. The reality is if in the next 4 years, that's the bottleneck, Google's good, very good. In fact, the biggest news, in my opinion, of the last month is that they acquired Intersect, which is like a huge solar developer, which was like their private solar developer for, I forget the exact amount, but in the billions of dollars, right? So Google's like, okay, they're going to do okay. But when it comes to like building infrastructure fast and energy fast, like brah.
100 gigawatt.
Exactly. And Steve shared this tweet. What was that tweet?
I mean, I don't know the details other than they're they're building out 100, or they have 100 gigawatts, or they're building out.
Is building out 100.
Elon Co. Let's say all of it together. Right. Elon Co. is building out 100 gigawatts of solar a year. That's what he's claiming on Twitter. 100 gigawatts. Now, to be clear, you know, when we held the Type 1 summit and I was talking about getting to terawatt scale, like the thing I want everyone to remember when you think about scaling laws is we've only seen the 100 megawatt cluster runs. We haven't seen the gigawatt cluster runs. Yeah. We haven't, like of all the models out there in the world, this is really, really, really important for people to understand. You know, in the last year and a half or 2 years, whatever it's been, we have not seen the base models increase in terms of power and compute. They're still at the 100 megawatt level. All of the improvement we've seen is from post-training and from inference time compute. So what's going to happen if the scaling laws hold and seems like Anthropic, OpenAI, seems like they're all scaling law pilled when you go from 100 megawatt to gigawatt. And Elon's already talking about 100 gigawatt, two orders of magnitude above that. And so anyways, if it comes down to just building energy infrastructure fast, and that's why you're starting to hear people talk about space as well, which people laughed at before we had the Type 1 summit. But if you literally can't build terawatt scale on Earth fast enough, which is, by the way, like pretty interesting area to be investing in, thinking about who's building the energy infrastructure for the other guys, Elon's going to do it all in-house. Then they're going to go to space. And I know you have the view that Google can find a way to get in space with Elon, but as of today, the dominant launch provider, including versus US like old school military industrial complex, they can't even compete, is SpaceX. And so, yeah, that's my view.
I have a question though. You know, whether it's four or five companies, whatever, that you feel like by 2030 or thereabouts, dominate, get all the profits. What business models are you imagining? Because some people believe that a lot of the use cases today and even tomorrow will be able to be computed on a consumer's device, phone, laptop, what have you, in which you can just run an open source, and that open source models will be able to satisfy most of those use cases, and that the money is to be made in like scientific research and things that require a lot more compute. Do you agree with that? And if so, how does that impact your thinking?
I agree with that and what I was saying. I think it's both. I think it's going to be a bifurcation. And I should also say, I actually like Apple a lot too in this world. I wouldn't maybe necessarily put them in that top tier, but I think Apple is going to do just fine. I think you're going to see a bifurcation. We're already seeing like open source models, to your point, are catching up to the state of the art and so many, you know, whatever things. And so if I just need to talk to my phone and be like, hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z tasks for me. Yeah, of course. That'll just be on device. Shout out to this investor. We've talked about Chris Pike, who's been saying it for years. Like Apple, like the product they keep developing is their M chips and the memory that's integrated. Like they're amazing. But I also think that on the other end, to your point, scientific research and stuff, it's just like, the universe is limitless. There's going to be infinite cool things we can do. All of the tasks we can imagine today probably will eventually be done on your phone. And then the new frontier, things like solving cancer, like, I don't know, developing like the Dyson spheres, that's going to be done in the cloud and probably the bigger business opportunity.
But I think you're never going to get to a point where like consumers say, oh, the stuff I can do on my phone is good enough. And there's just less demand for more intelligence. I think there's always going to be more demand for more intelligence.
Agreed.
So it's kind of like, you know,
Jevons Paradox.
Yeah. And I mean, look at, you know, I think Gates was famous in the 70s or 80s for kind of saying like something about the, or maybe it was somebody else, something about like the, you know, well, I don't want to misquote it. Take bandwidth on the internet. It used to be a day when you would say, oh, like as long as you've got a, you know, 9600 baud modem, it's got everything you're going to need. Then you're like, oh, well, I need a little more bandwidth because now there's like these images you can get. Right. And then you're like, oh, actually, I need more bandwidth because now you can do video. Mm-hmm. Now I need high def video and I want to upload and now in a live stream. And like the march of progress on the internet has been, no matter how much you've got, no matter how much your local compute makes sense looking at history, you still want more because there's something more you can do. And I suspect that's going to be the case for consumers. So I don't think, like on device, I can do like transcription. It's really good at that. If you get like a whisper model on your iOS, that'd be ideal. But people are still going to want to, then they start dreaming up software projects they want done with like multi-agent orchestration. And I think it's going to end up falling back that like a cloud service is going to be able to do this better. And it's going to reach the demand of, you know, the personalized custom software that you want built for you.
I agree.
Why not architect a hybrid approach though? Where you're using both local and cloud?
Yeah, I think local and cloud is natural. I'm only reacting to the idea that it will become all all local because consumers' needs will be met. I think consumers' needs will not be met. Consumers will have new needs.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. Do we feel like the past 10, 20 years, there's been a very good hybrid architecture?
Of what?
Like a service. Like it usually just runs in the cloud, right?
Most things
run in the cloud.
An iOS app is a client that touches a cloud service. I don't know.
I guess it's a mix.
I mean, mobile apps.
It's a mix, but I would think economics would drive that. Meaning, if you and I are offering the exact same service, I have the hybrid architecture and you don't, I can reduce my costs because I don't need as much cloud compute. Mm-hmm. So I think that economics would drive that. Not like privacy or other reasons, though you get that privacy benefit as well.
And by the way, and so this is where I'm getting pretty obsessed, and we've talked a little bit about the idea for the GPU marketplace and stuff, is like, if economics is going to drive it, geez, I wonder what economic system is going to do it. Because if you have all these different closed off walls, like if I want to be able to, the other thing that I think it's important to remember is like, we're still in the early, I forget what Carlota Perez calls it, like installation phase or deployment phase. I forget all the, whatever the terminology. The idea is like, people are right now subsidizing just getting their stuff out there.
Yeah.
And my guess is, you know, a lot of the slop that's getting made today is not economic. Definitely not. And that's okay. Cause like these guys are just like, whatever, like get market share, dominate. But eventually you're going to get to a world where like, you know, even for the biggest company, you need to reflect the true cost of running inference to your user. And my guess is we're going to see
that could be subsidized for a long time.
It could. I'm not saying that this could be 10 years out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like at some point, markets are going to market. And I think that the open system for Bitcoin, this makes me a lot more bullish. And I think you're going to see other interesting things emerge. Like, for example, the GPU marketplace, which, you know, Christopher David at Open Agents has been playing with, some other people have been playing with. I hope this becomes really popular. I think he calls it fracking for Apple M chips, right? Like in the same way that we have natural gas and then fracking unlocked it. So shout out to Christopher Davies, he's listening to this. He's talking about, you know, imagine you have extra Apple silicon at home. You can just plug it in and earn sats. I think that's going to happen too. And I think to your point, economics dictates all of it. So
we're being asked if this is live. And yeah. Of course, we always do live.
But people could watch it recorded even if we do it live.
Shout out to Austin who says, the guy selling my dad our first PC sold him a 1 gig hard drive and told him, quote, you'll never need more space.
Yeah, those are the kinds of things, because you're always looking at it in the context of what you currently have.
640K. Right? Yeah. You'll never need more.
I think we had an Atari 800 that I think it came raw with like 4K of memory, if I recall, or maybe 8K. And my dad was like, we got to upgrade this. And he dropped like $2,000 on an extra 16K of RAM.
That's hilarious.
Like, this is insane. By today's standards, it just makes no sense.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I think that's the way the world, that's progress. You know, that's
welcome to technology. Right? Yeah.
A few other, speaking of like economics and AI, a few other related things that have come up in the past week or so. A point I brought up is that some of us have been, you know, vibe coding and maybe spending hundreds of dollars per month. I don't know.
Too much.
Like, I don't know how much Matt spends, maybe $1,000 a month. I have no idea, but like a lot. I was speaking with some other developers who, you know, don't necessarily have the disposable income to spend that much. And so it made me realize, you know, we talk about how vibe coding makes building accessible to so many more people. I mean, I throw out the number like 1,000 times more people. That's relative to like people who have traditional programming skills. But we never really factored in the economics either. So someone who, you know, is limited to only what the free plan is, or maybe $5 to $10 a month, how much does that, you know, impact their ability to build? So I think that's an interesting thing to discuss.
Wasn't there somebody go ahead.
Well, just the other point I was going to make, I saw some headline about Claude Code can cost $200 a month and Goose is free. And
I didn't know Goose is free. That's cool.
Goose is free, but you need
That seems like a misleading title.
You have to bring in an API key from one of these guys.
Well, yeah, you need a model. Goose isn't a model. So Goose allows you to use different models and different models have different capabilities and different price points. But if you use the same model that Claude Code is, I assume it costs the same. So I'm not aware of Claude Code adding a bunch of extra cost or price beyond using Opus or Sonnet or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
this is the part where you want me to be the asshole, right?
No, I never.
Hey, DK.
I never said that. No,
are you feeling like an asshole?
I don't think it's the case. I think, as client side and open source becomes more and more powerful to do tasks, then that is quote free. I mean, you have fixed costs, but then the marginal cost to you would be free. So I think that just gets more capable over time. And then just like the example you gave of your dad spending $2,000 on a few K of RAM or whatever, obviously that comes down in 1978 or whatever, how many people around the world could afford, you know, a few K of RAM or a computer, and compare that today with billions and billions of people having phones, the same thing will happen here.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I would guess that your estimate of like exposing it to 1,000 times more people is about right. You know, exposing vibe coding and building to a lot more people, that's probably right. It doesn't mean that every person today has access to all of the highest tier plans of everything they want. But I think a lot of it depends on sort of your mental accounting. Like, I thought you shared somebody who said, oh, I budgeted $10 a month for my vibe coding model use. And I'm not here to judge them and say that's the right amount or the wrong amount for you. But I think it depends on how you think about what role does this play. If vibe coding is purely throwaway entertainment, then maybe 10 bucks is the right amount. Like, it's like Netflix, right? If you see it as like, this is the future of my career, or this is the way that I'm going to create economic productivity in the world, I think almost anybody who can afford a $2,000 MacBook Pro should be spending, you know, at least I think 10 bucks a month is probably too little to be spending if you believe that this is.
Different ways to frame it. One, you've shared this one, but like, you know, going to university. Yep. If you're spending, you know, 100K, yep, 250K, 500K, whatever, outrageous amounts of money for university education, compare that to paying, you know, $100 a month for these AI tools.
So I actually have a thought on that. So but before we let DK go full, Sailor talking to Danny on what Bitcoin did. I think this is an interesting segue on the vibe coding thing. Although I want to put a pin and make sure we come back to the big tech companies and Bitcoin before we die or before we whatever finish today. To me, the question becomes: how do you make sure people see that value?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll talk about my own experience right now. So,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is great. This is your first time talking about you actually building things.
Yeah.
We've been encouraging you.
So you guys, y'all peer pressured me, excluded me from a group chat.
That was the final straw.
That was the final straw.
So you get invited in.
Yeah. So actually, can we show this, Alex? It's not perfect. There's things wrong with it, but like, I want to
surprise. Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little demo.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not perfect yet, but like, so I'm not going to say my stuff is polished like DK's, memepay.app. It's not polished like DK's or, Matt's entirely, but I want to show you the power of this. And then I want to get the idea across about how we share this with everyone. So, if you want to, you can log in with Nostr. I even got that sort of working. So this is my first, it's actually now a Nostr client. It's called memepay.app. And the idea behind it is very simple. Okay. The idea is actually another Chris Pike idea that I liked. I read some years ago from him was that memes are under-monetized. There's a whole meme economy that you can make some cash on. So the whole idea here is you create memes and you earn Bitcoin. Now, I will tell everyone listening, I have not shared this publicly because there's a lot of stuff that's broken, including right now, anyone that zaps, the money just goes to me. But I think this is worth talking about because there's stuff I need from Nick. There's stuff I need from Nostr. And shout out to Matt, who helped me a little bit yesterday in our pair vibe. I feel like I saved my pair vibe with DK since you're back in town.
Yeah.
But the whole deal with this for me was, okay, you need to make this so, so simple for anyone to be able, that has a good idea, to go from zero to making that first money. I think that's the key. Because otherwise, if you tell people like, oh man, vibe coding is the future and it's great. And they're going to be like, yeah, but I don't want to spend my $10. If you say, hey man, in 5 minutes, you're going to sit down and make your first dollar, boom, then they'll spend thousands because they see it as a productivity tool or whatever it is. So the whole concept with MeanPay.app, I don't know, is it live? It's not live yet. Okay, well, anyways, I can just describe
it.
We
had it up for a bit.
Is basically you choose a template. Okay, Alex is going to do a screenshot. Thank you. And you fill out your own meme and then people zap it. That's it. And if you like it,
you pay, right?
Yeah, you
to
pay.
Create it.
And you can pay. It's using MDK. So shout out to Nick Slaney and crew. You pay. And then I rank the memes in the gallery based on which ones have gotten the most payments. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole app. And it's freaking addictive and super fun. And I will say shout out to Alex. I showed him last night testing it. And I was very proud because he did a meme in front of me and made a payment. And then he made another one on his own after.
Nice.
Showing how much fun this is. I showed it to Danny. Immediately, he started making memes. Now, again, I need to... And now I feel like Anjali actually made fun of me this morning because I was like, oh, I'm a PM now. She's like, PM? She's like, you don't even know what a PM does. And I was like, actually, you don't know what a PM does because that old world is dead. Like, so I just got like a bunch of notes and stuff I want to add into there. But like, anyways, so the whole idea is you make a meme, someone likes it, they tip it. And then we have a leaderboard where the more tips you get, the higher it's ranked. Now, the next step
is like a Stacker News competitor.
And I mean, I don't know if it's a competitor. Dude, believe me, PM, if you're listening, take this and run. Like, I'm just messing around having fun, right? But I also think, like, you could make some serious jack with stuff like this.
Like,
people that know what the fuck they're doing, like, I do think AGI is going to come and take a lot of this away. But in the next, like, 2 to 3 years, the sort of, like, levels IO model of, like, oh, let me launch a bunch of businesses. Bro, you can print in this transition period. Print. But the missing piece for all that was something like MDK. Because in the past, people were vibe coding Repl and they can't monetize.
Can't make money at it.
You need to show people how to make money. Yep. People don't want the nerd stuff. They just want to make money.
Yep.
And so that's what the missing piece is, why I'm so bullish on MDK. But anyways, so what I want to figure out now, so that I got all of that working. We were having database problems and stuff. It's like, and I'm really happy that Nick is focusing just on being a first-class citizen in Replit. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. But there's still a bunch of bugs with it, right? We couldn't get the freaking database to read his thing. And so Matt and I had to sit there and go back and forth and we had to like explain things. And finally, the thing that got it to work was I literally had to talk to the AI. And you know, after Matt gave it a bunch of like really like sort of rigorous context, it still wasn't working. I went to the AI and I just typed, look, dash. I was like, all I want is the damn payments to work. Just make it work. And it worked. Like, there's all these, like, cool things you figure out. And I'm, like, telling the AI, like, all right, no, bro, you need to make this shit work. Yeah. And, like, and then it works. Anyways.
And you're doing this. I'm taking it. You're still typing.
I am still
Which
typing.
Is not the prescribed way to vibe code, you know.
Well, this is why we're going to do our pure vibe next set. Because I want to be able to do it while I'm walking. My biggest regret is I spent way too many hours in front of the computer screen on this. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, I'd rather be walking.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, but the next thing. So then Matt helped me with this yesterday. And there's still so much to figure out. But we got... Nostr login working. So now you can log in with Nostr and every meme, my vision is going to get published as a Nostr event.
Right.
And so any Nostr client can suck those events in and like the meme gets shared around and like accrues value. And then people get secondary opportunity to build clients to showcase the memes. And so
so if somebody were to zap it on Nostr, let's say I see a meme from, is it MemePay? Is that what it's called?
MemePay.app.
MemePay.app. So I see a meme from MemePay.app on the Nostr page, and I've already got my wallet linked to Nostr so I can zap it easily.
Mm-hmm.
Does that money then flow through from the zap to...
We haven't gotten that working yet. That's what next week, you and I will get this working.
Okay. But that goes to you, the developer, today.
So today, everything just flows to me. I haven't figured out. What I want to do is the next thing is the reason I did login with Nostr is twofold. I want every meme to be a Nostr event. So because it's not just Nostr clients, then like Stacker News, for example, is not technically a Nostr client. Well, I guess what does that even mean? But it can display inline Nostr events. We still didn't get the inline working. That was helping me with this. There's still some bugs on this. But like then imagine you're just on Stacker News and like someone does a Stacker News post, but they suck in a meme in there. Yep. There's like a meme template. Boom. If I can get all of that working, that's how this thing just goes crazy.
Yeah.
So that's all with the Nostr login. But now, so there's a bunch of challenges. The next challenge is like, okay, how do I get someone to get paid, right? Well, first, like my idea was if you log in with Nostr, I need to use the libraries to figure out how you can get, you know, if I already have for example, on Primal or something, a Lightning address hooked up to my NPub, like it needs to be able to read that using Nostr Wallet Connect or something like that. Yeah. And so what I'm realizing right now from doing this is, and by the way, I went to the Nostr Dev meetup last night. That's a whole other topic we can get into. But, you know, it in the same way that if you had tried to vibe code with Bitcoin 1 month ago, it was super difficult because no, in Replit at least, no one had just like done right. like the hard polish and make it work in Replit before Nick and MDK.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it, but like you did it, Matt did it, but like that, it takes a lot of iteration, yeah. right? Yeah. Someone needs to do that for Nostr. And I want to give a shout out to Alex Gleason, who made Shakespeare.diy. I have not used that yet. It's a Nostr competitor to Replit, which is only focused on Nostr. And some dude at the event last night showed a cool app he made in Shakespeare and it worked. But what I want is someone to like, because Replit has the user base right now, figure out, this could be a company, this could be like a protocol, whatever, a project, but figure out how to just make Nostr work as a first-class citizen in Replit. And anyways, that's what both Matt and I are working on. Matt told me he's working on it too right now. We tried pointing to Nostr login library, which is Artur's library, and it's good, but it's not really, you know, maintained. We pointed to MDK, which is Pablo's library, which is better, but like there's still some bugs and stuff. So I've been told that Alex Gleason's MK stack, which he uses for Shakespeare, is the best.
Oh, MK stack.
Oh, I was wrong.
Okay.
I thought you had a typo.
What do you mean?
I asked in our group chat, the one that you're in.
Oh.
I asked, what is MK stack? Because you referenced it.
And I thought it was a typo that you meant MDK.
So MK stack is
MK stack Alex is Gleason's. Alex Gleason's thing. I think it's for his wife, MK, so that she can use it.
Oh, okay.
And at least that's what I read at one point. Don't quote me on that. But anyways, but someone needs to take MK stack and make it work just really nicely and Replit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company.
Austin has a question. I don't understand the goose hype. It's a wrapper. What am I missing? I think reasons to be supportive and bullish on Goose isn't that it's free and Claude is $200 a month. That's
apples to oranges.
That's apples to oranges. Yeah. But it's open source. It's now part of the Linux Foundation. It's part of this new foundation that Anthropic and OpenAI and Block started. So unlike its competitors, Windsurf, Cursor, Replit, etc., which are all closed source, it's open source. So there's just the classic open versus closed source advantages. It obviously needs to compete though on user experience and overall experience. So I think it has been leveling up the past year. It needs to keep leveling up. But hopefully it attracts a lot of, it's already attracting non-block contributors, but hopefully that continues. In fact, if anyone wants to contribute to Goose and work out a Presidio Bitcoin, we'd love to have folks like that working out a Presidio Bitcoin. But to me, that's why it's interesting. And then when it comes to like payment protocols and payment experiences within AI tools, I'd love to see that being integrated into Goose as well.
And if you're using Goose and you wanted to try to bake it off compared to say like a Claude Code, is it still the best recommendation is to use OpenRouter as sort of your model routing within Goose, or can you just pick like Claude?
Well, I think that's been natively integrated, but you can use the Nostr one, Routester or whatever.
Okay.
I don't think you're restricted.
But meaning like instead of using a specific API key, because I think at one point I was using specific API keys with Goose and it wasn't so good, but then somebody told me to use OpenRouter to access the models instead of a direct API key.
Yeah.
So that's still kind of best practice or?
As far as I know.
Okay.
So I love all the open source tools. I hope they continue to improve. It'd be awesome to get them here. But I want to just reiterate a very important point, which is like, I think if we really want BTC payments to take off, like we need to go where the people. And it's awesome. And I hope Goose keeps improving. The open source keep tools improving. But like, this is a like really hardcore call. Someone make Nostr work in Replit and you will win.
But I think go where the people are. There's like the people who develop on Replit. Mm-hmm. That's one set of people. But there's also just like, the web is kind of open and people can build on Replit or Claude or, you know, or Goose or whatever, and they publish it out, right? So are you imagining something that's like a Replit-specific library?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm asking for, if it's a library, a plugin, if it's a company, if it's an MCP server. What I'm saying is there are a lot of like developers with taste, many of them here in San Francisco who are currently using Replit. They don't know that they need Bitcoin or Nostr yet. MDK was all around how do we take Bitcoin payments and make it super easy where these people already are to solve a real problem for them. That problem is, how do I get paid?
Right.
What I'm saying is, if someone can come and solve the problem of how do I allow auth into my app and with payments ideally, and share the things created out of my app as widely as humanly possible, there's a huge opportunity there.
I've found that, you know, like I think it was about a year ago, I built my first Noster app on Replit, and it was very problematic because I remember I had to tell it like, hey, after you generate the NSEC, you need to, I think, have a publish event where you first introduce that new NPUB to the network. I think there's like a broadcast thing as part of the Noster protocol. And so I was struggling to get Replit to do that, and I really had to be very prescriptive and dig into what was going wrong, and then eventually got it working. But that was about a year ago, and I think Replit was using odd models figured out. Just recently, I built a new app it's not like a Noster app, but it uses Noster as infrastructure, and I just basically told it what I wanted to do, and I started looking and stuff showing up on Noster.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of like, just as the model gets better, I think that's already probably made progress. A little bit of the bitter lesson.
Well,
but I still think there's a geo opportunity, which you turned me onto that acronym. I think generative engine optimization.
Right,
So instead of SEO, geo, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
I do think naturally it sort of heals over time, but I think there's ways to accelerate it as well. And we've already seen, like with MDK, they did explicit things to get more tightly integrated with Replit, and it did reduce the number of steps and problems. I mean, you're complaining about a couple hiccups you had. I had a couple hiccups as well, but it used to be
so much
20 hiccups, not two.
Right.
And it used to be 200, it used to be 2000. So, I mean, I totally agree. Keep pushing it so it literally works on a one-shot. For everyone.
We're getting there.
I mean, it definitely works as a one-shot now in certain situations and not others.
I want to just make a few comments on this. And like, seriously, like when we pair next week, I want to see what you're saying. I believe it's possible. And we, to be clear, with Matt yesterday, we did get Noster notes pushed out. There's just like a lot of like, it's polish. And this is, I think if I had to say one thing, it's like a lot of the Noster community is still amazing, but it's not that level of polish where I could take it to like my normie friend that is, you know, a PM at Airbnb or something and be like, it just works. But we're close. We're so, so close. And so, you know, that there's an opportunity for someone to build that final bridge there. Having said all of that, another thing that I discussed with Matt, and this goes to my Hans Moravec point, to your point, which is like, you know, there is an argument for learning the tools now, for sure. And I'm having fun with it and it's cool. But if you say, will any of this matter in 3 years? My answer is no. Like the models are going to get so much better on their own that like, it's cool. So I think the reason you learn the tools now is because there's a window where the humans operating can still build businesses and make a lot of money.
Escape the permanent underclass.
I mean, that's that is one darker way of saying it, DK.
It's a meme.
But exactly. You should put that on meme page. But I do think the models are going to get so good. Now, I do think, as a topic we've discussed on prior shows, it matters that we get a lot of Noster content and Bitcoin content out there on the web, because the more there is on the web, the more we're influencing the future generation of models, the more we make Noster and Bitcoin potential defaults. So I do think there's reasons to do it. But I think in 3 years, like none of this, like the like tooling will matter.
I have a little different take on that.
Yeah.
I mean, disagree with part of that. Meaning, I think it's valuable to learn these skills today, not just for the next 2 or 3 years, but in 2 or 3 years, I agree the game will change and you need to have a new set of skills, but it's a lot easier to develop the next wave of skills on top of what you build over the next 2 years than if you don't do anything right now.
Yeah.
Just observing like David and Matt and others, their skills level up the past year, they're ahead of us now. So, and I don't think if we wait 3 years and then enter that we'll be able to leapfrog. So,
I agree with that.
I think
spending the time figuring it out.
Long term, like, are humans pointless? Like, I don't know. I don't really.
No, they're not. I would never say that.
I don't care to like even like really think about that. I think it'll continue to be a better and better and more powerful tool for us. We're still the tastemaker. We still know what humans want. Well, I forget who put it this way, but it's like sort of, I know me. And that's my unique advantage.
Yeah.
Maybe AI will know what all humans want better than me, but I know what I want better than anyone.
Yeah.
And so I can always taste make for myself. And then there's probably other people like me.
Yeah.
And then so I can be the driver and orchestrator and PM of that. And then I have these insanely powerful tools to help build faster and better, et cetera. So I think that's going to be the case for a long time.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's also like, it's fun, right? So like,
That's the thing. I'm glad you got, I was going to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about your journey. Cause I know we've been asking you to really try it for a while and you finally did that. And was it 30 minutes of struggle and then hours of addiction, or was it like, how hard was it to get into, and where did you finally get the payoff of just kind of like the psychological kind of?
That's a great question. And I actually think I'll describe my vision, but we should also discuss, I have ideas like what we could do here at PB to help more people have those magic moments. And I think that's actually a great service for Bitcoin and for the world. But for me personally, so you guys peer pressured me last Friday. Right after the show, I was like, all right, fuck this shit. I'm gonna get something working. So that was the initial motivation. And I've had this idea for the meme thing forever and I've tried to pay people to do it on Nos. I was like, okay, let's just see if I can do this. So my first, and I think it's important whenever you're building any kind of product or company to like always put yourself back in the shoes of the noob, because you get so far down and you forget what it's like for a complete noob. So for me as the noob last Friday, I sat down and, you know, I chose Replit because you guys use Replit. That was why. I'm also interested in using Google Anti-Gravity, which I would like to in the future. Yeah. But I was like, well, I'm going to do what my friends are doing because they can help me. That was the first decision point. Then I tried to do some stuff on Replit and I got a little bit, and I got like, to your point earlier, I got like one prompt and I was like, you need to pay. And I was like, fuck this shit. I'm not going to pay. Like, I don't see any value. Like, you guys are just like, my friends are fleecing me now. And then you made fun of me and said, you're not going to pay $25 a month. And I was like, all right, more peer pressure. I'll try your damn app. Another subscription for another $25 a month, which I hate.
Well, is it more similar to Netflix in your mental,
I would never subscribe
accounting
to Netflix,
or whatever you subscribe to?
Yeah. I would put it like,
it's like entertainment.
Not necessarily. I put it like a new category. Like, I am subscribing to Google's model because I use that for research, which is actually quite valuable for my quote unquote real job. So I put it somewhere between Spotify/Tidal. I do subscribe to Tidal, and that's just because out of love for Block and out of love for the hope that Jack is going to make Bitcoin go in there one day. So I put it somewhere in there. Somewhere between Spotify and Tidal and what I do for Google, which is like actually my work.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not,
I would say
just
it's closer to work.
One thing I mentioned when you were in that small window of time of struggling.
Yeah, I was furious with MDK.
I just want an example to get started. Mm-hmm. And I gave you an example.
Yeah.
Just tell Replit, create a game.
That's true.
Literally, that's all. And I typed that in just to prove to myself again that it's that simple. And it created Snake, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, super primitive game. I mean, it felt like the 70s, but like it created the game and I played it. And then,
hey man,
and then
shag carpeting, it's like the color shirt.
It's the hello world. I mean, for people who have ever learned programming, hello world is like the first program you write in a new language, right?
Yeah. And that was actually useful when you
create
that.
A game is like the hello world of this. And then you get a game and then it's very easy to iterate from there on. So I do think it's like out of the box, super simple. Adding payments is a layer of sophistication. It's damn near close to being like one shot for everyone out of the box. But we need to get there.
Well, and shout out to Nick. He's done a lot of work, but obviously it's a startup, so they have a lot to go. And so for me, you know, there's, and it's always like, to be clear, the reason I like programming, like I like, you know, manipulating mental objects and thinking about things abstractly. I don't have, whatever, my personality is such, I don't have a lot of patience. And so like, when it's like the fucking comma is missing, it's like, I just want to rage quit the computer and leave. And that's what I did with programming. And so in this case, it was like lots of little things. And it was like, I'm glad I'm in a group chat with you guys and Nick, because I was like, all right, like I'm trying to do my little payment.
He's
thing.
Just happy to be included.
Exactly. All I want is belonging, which is what humans really are going to need post AGI. Isn't that the ultimate question?
Yeah.
It actually is. But I'm in a group chat and I'm asking you guys to help me. And, you know, Nick tried, but like, I don't know. There's just funky stuff you don't know. And so I forgot what it finally was. I was able to add the MDK MCP server. And I know Nick's got a better solution coming for that too. But then he told me to do that and it started working and that was really exciting. So just like that first moment was, and Steve, I think you zapped me. One of you guys zapped me. I'm guessing it was Steve. DK is a little cheaper. it is what it is. I know my
true friend. Story.
I know that. I know that. So thank you, Steve. So actually, yes. And you know, you're saying that kind of jokingly, but you zapping me that first time, first of all, you saying and actually taking interest in what I was doing, just like make a game. And then you zapping me, I was like, oh shit, that was a magic moment. I was like, I got a payment from someone else. That's huge.
Yeah.
It was a dollar, but it was like, oh shit, this is real.
I felt the same way.
Right?
With Joke Box.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it's
someone,
great.
And you're putting up real numbers with Joke Box, right?
who I think I zapped you. I zapped you too. Yeah, I zapped you for Joke Box too. Probably not DK. DK's
there's no doubt though that making it out of the box, dead simple to add payments, and then for someone around the world to receive their first payment from like
it's magic.
Not their friend, or even
a friend.
Even a friend is, but imagine your friend, or you know, someone who just genuinely discovered and values what you have. That's amazing.
I'm going to lose my mind.
I mean, it's amazing for any business historically, but the speed in which you can go from zero to that emotion is like
that's the magic moment.
But that's radically shrunk. I mean, it can be in a matter of an hour or minutes now.
Depending
on how you distribute and market.
So I want to be clear, and I have an idea for what we should do here, but I think we should help as many people as humanly possible have that magic moment. And I want to be clear, like, I actually think we have a secret with MDK, which is that vibe coding is great, but like, it's most people are not nerds. Okay. This is cool. I've actually been talking with Anjali about this. She has zero interest in vibe coding. She's like, I am not an engineer. I have zero interest in that. I'm like, do you have interest in making money online? She's like, tell me more. And like, and she's literally like, yo, I'll believe it when I see you make, you know, whatever, $100. So I got two. Alex is one. Steve is one. We'll see if DK ever opens up his wallet.
What is the...
it's a new club. So once I get to $100, I want to go back and show her it's possible. And then she's going to say, okay, cool. Now I'll play with Replit. Zero interest in coding ever. Yeah. Zero. Starting business ideas that are cool?
Yep.
Lots. So that is a secret that we have in the world about MDK and why I think this could go viral for vibe coding.
I think that's the big story is like, yes, we should try to make the tools better and keep advocating to get MDK simpler, one-shotable, and Noster stuff one-shotable. But if you could either have that or you could have a shining example of a person who made $1 million and changed their lives.
That's coming.
That's the thing that will really make everybody perk up.
And by the way,
people will struggle through the pain.
Yeah. If there's money on the line, like that, and show me the incentives, I'll show you the outcome. I think it was Levels.io that shared some dude who's like live streaming himself, kind of Justin TV style. And he's like, I'm not going to stop live streaming. I don't know if he still is until I make $1 million. I don't know what he's using for payments.
There was something.
That was a scam?
I didn't follow it. I don't know.
I didn't either. I just saw the idea.
I'm always reticent to call something a scam without like a bunch more facts. But I think they're selling a training program. And most
are you serious?
Through a 5-second read on X, that's what I...
So whether this...
Because I don't spend much time on X anymore. So I didn't do the deep research.
Right. Yeah.
But that's why I saw it in 5 seconds.
So whenever we can point to someone that makes... I mean, I would even say even like $1,000 and then $100,000 and then eventually $1 million... from a vibe coded app with MDK or whatever using Bitcoin, that's going to go by.
I mean, I didn't see I may have just seen the headline. I don't know how deep the story is, but I thought I saw people talking this week about it's been revealed that a bunch of Roblox kid developers are making like tens of millions of dollars on the Roblox game.
For real?
Yeah. I think it was like a 20-year-old made like $20 million on a game or something. I don't know if that's real.
Okay. So, I want to
that's a real ecosystem and there's real money flowing through it.
And I think this is the key to making Bitcoin and Noster win short term because there's so much you can do with the open system. So I want to tell you, and like maybe next week we can get this working so I can show on the next pod. I have a vision, you know, I've talked about this concept I have for a new economic structure and I call it like the waterfalls. Okay. And like, it's all about the thickness of your waterfalls. Which is, you know, for any intellectual property, which I think it's dumb to try and like win with IP. Instead, you want to win with having the shelling point for a specific piece of IP, not winning through courts, but winning through money, winning through economics. And so I described this in the past as with music. buy, you know, if Radiohead drops in Rainbows again and they sign it with their private key, and then you bake in, you know, there's zaps that flow to that, right? Like money tips, just tips, value for value for now. And if you can then bake in the next level, which is kind of like, if I share that meme or the music, I get a cut of the waterfall. So what I really want to do, if I can get the next, my ultimate vision for this meme thing is if you share the meme and someone zaps from your share, you get a cut of the waterfall. And now you're economically incentivized. And that's how these things go viral. And this is what I think what someone like Chris was getting at is like, imagine if you create a whole new meme template and it takes the internet by storm, like you can make $1 million off of one.
Austin says his brother-in-law was making six figures on Roblox 1 year out of high school. So there you go.
And this also gets to our idea of like the kids are unbanked, right? What are they going to use to make money?
So a quick shout out for those interested in maybe making six figures. We have our monthly builder meetup at Presidio Bitcoin next Thursday. So if you're in the Bay Area, please come out. Again, you don't have to be identified as a Bitcoiner. You just need to be enthusiastic and interested in.
And you don't have to identify as an engineer.
Building. You don't have to identify as an engineer or a Bitcoiner. Just innovation and building. And if you have something you want to show off, we'd love to see it. Definitely, you'll be able to learn from other people. And so,
and when's
hope
the
to
next
see
one?
People. Next Thursday, 6 p.m. at Presidio Bitcoin. And I think you can sign up on Luma. I believe is the event site.
I think it's also worth calling out a point Matt made just to help everyone set expectations of where we are. To be clear, you know, you sign up for REPL and it's $25 a month. That's not all. Like these guys, in the short run, REPL's making a lot of money because like they do is they get you hooked. It's like, hey, kid, first try is free or $25. And then you start burning through credits. I think I still have not burned through my next $25 worth of credit. So I've done all of this in under $50, but it's not, certainly not free, just to be clear on that.
But it's also like it's less than the price of two people going to the movie theater.
Yeah. it is, but I think the point is actually, and I think this is an important point we just discussed and what we can do here at PB. If it's in your entertainment budget, you're not going to spend it. If you're like, I'm spending $50 and it makes me 100, then like, why wouldn't? I mean, of course you will.
I mentally allocate it as education budget, not entertainment. Like when I think about it, I'm like, I am learning so much. I'm doing so much. I'm making things that I can share with people and get feedback on.
Yeah.
And none of that is, it is entertaining to me, but it's not baked off as if it's a piece of entertainment.
And not everyone has to have the same budget. Some will be education, some will be entertainment, some will be like profit, short-term profit motive.
Totally. So one thing I think would be super cool for us to do, and maybe this also dovetails into some of the Flint stuff, but also it could be online and in person. But last year, Presidio Bitcoin hosted the first that I know of, at least, I think there was another one. So let's call it one of the first Bitcoin AI hackathons. And that was super fun. And the tooling, you know, Albie was there, Lexi was there, and that was good, but it was not super focused on REPL yet. I think you actually were the one that was saying, let's do one super focused on vibe coding. I think it would be great to do another one of those where it's just like, get as many people as possible, get all those providers, MDK, get REPL here as well, sit down and it's like, all right, another hackathon and like whoever like makes the most in 48 hours wins. And I mean, I don't know how you do it because that's gameable, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. We're working on a smaller scale one in the next few weeks. So
also in a group chat. This is getting ridiculous. We're going to add that to PBJ.
Actually, a good segue into Flint and Max. When are you going to apply to become a Flint?
Well,
now that you're officially a vibe coder.
Next week, DK can help me with this last piece I want to fix, and then I'll put it in.
Yeah. Because it's not just a, you know, who you know thing. Like
open to anybody on the internet who wants to apply.
That's what
there is an application.
That's what they say, guys. I heard there's a Flint Foundation. I don't know. Vitalik has been appointed the new chairperson. I don't know. That's what I hear.
We created our own token.
Oh no, it's on Solana. Don't worry.
Quick update on Flint.
Thank you, Matt. He says I'm almost Flint worthy.
So we launched it live on the show last week. But as one person pointed out, that was like the Friday afternoon before a 3-day holiday weekend. probably one of the worst possible times to announce something. We knew that going in. We did it anyway. And have been pleasantly surprised with, I believe we're over like 160 applications now. So that's pretty great. And looking through them, there are...
how many? 100?
168, I think.
That's right. Way more than I would have expected. That's great.
It's great.
I was expecting
and like they're like, they're quality applications. Yeah, quality people are explaining why they want to join. They're listing their GitHubs. They're listing, you know, the links to their applications they've already built. So
sick.
Like the large majority are quality applications, which is great to see. We had already seeded the community with around 10 or so folks. Mm-hmm. And I think we're out of those initial applications, we're going to invite around 10 more, and start with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then add more later. Like I said, there's a ton of people who are high quality applications that we're not going to invite right away. That's solely due to, we just want to set the right culture, make sure the system's working well. Going from like just DK, me and Matt to 20 people, some things might break down. We got to like refine the process, keep a really high quality environment. And then once we feel good about that, then we'll open it up even more. But yeah, cool. Happy with the number of applications. Also happy that three of the people that are early members are people who would not identify as Bitcoiners.
Cool.
They are people that David and I know from Silicon Valley, but like 20 plus year experience people, super, super seasoned Silicon Valley veterans. Really happy to have them in the community because
cool.
I think most of the applications are people who would identify as Bitcoiners. And that's not a surprise because like our sort of our marketing distribution channels are naturally to Bitcoiners. But we want a healthy mix of both. We don't want just Bitcoiners. It's Bitcoin is part of the culture of this community, but we're very happy to see compelling applications built that don't use Bitcoin or don't have payments.
Yeah.
I think we're going to naturally have lots of experimentation exploration with applications that have payments. For one reason is just people want to make money. And then I think it's a really, and I don't think we want to like overly push that you got to use Bitcoin. Like if you want to make money, you want to add payments. If you're using stable coins or traditional finance, adding Stripe, have at it because we'll learn a ton.
Yeah.
Like does Bitcoin have a place or not? Like intuitively, we believe it does have a place. Let's prove it out in the Flint community and not do it by just restricting what other people can do.
Totally.
And I like one of the projects I'm working on right now is running into a lot of payment hurdles and I don't know how to solve them. Like Bitcoin doesn't solve them. I think people are saying ETH or Sol have good solutions to these things. Now, that's not
Wait, hold up. I'm just going to live. Alex, can we pull up the meme paid out? Because I'm going to need the African kid to give it real quick.
Yeah, in
DK's moving to Solana. You mean to tell me DK's moving to Solana?
It's even worse. I'm telling him to.
He's telling you. He's like, bro, pick up Solana. Solves it.
I gotta go, guys. It's been real. Peace out.
No, so okay, actually, Max, you want the ability to have people zap your memes, mm-hmm. and then a portion of it go to
split payments
to the creator and. Or I don't know, to you and then like the app developer and a portion go to the creator of the meme, right?
Yeah, that's doable with Bitcoin.
In a way that isn't going to get you in jail?
Nasrallah Connect. I'm pretty sure. Does it not work? Split payments, I'm pretty sure.
Have you tried Nasrallah Connect this way?
I haven't used, I've used Nasrallah Connect. I haven't done this with it.
I'm almost positive. Like if anyone's there that's more of an expert than me, this would be great to like ask the Albi guys or something. Like I'm pretty sure... all of like Gigi had this whole idea. I forgot what he called it, but like
prisms, water right?
prisms. Yeah. Pretty sure NWC is the best way to do prisms.
But NWC is, I'd say, largely under distributed and underdeveloped. So if I
totally disagree. I think NWC is the standard.
Well, so
he sent out like an image that shows like 100,000s.
But if it's
thousands of apps,
like I built this app,
which surprised.
I sent it to my friend, and he's like, "Oh, my kids love stuff like this. I'm going to send it to them. They use MetaMask and some other
yeah, that's
stuff.
Fine. But
those are not NWC, right?
That's a different claim. So if your claim is I want to reach users where they are using Solana and stuff, totally fine. Yeah, that makes sense. That's why I'm saying Replit. But if your claim is it can't be done with Bitcoin, I'm saying absolutely can't.
I'm not trying to reach Solana users. I'm not trying to meet people where they are. I'm trying to build.
I'm just trying to save a soul right now, guys. The good word of... Hold on. I'm just trying to save your soul.
I'm trying to build a specific tool
mm-hmm.
with a specific set of payment requirements that I have not, and I do use Nostra Wallet Connect. I use Primal to do it because they currently support it. And I have not been able to do everything that I want to do with it.
And I'm saying, and I'm not sure, maybe we can also do this in our Vibe Pair next week. Yeah. And Nick, if you happen to listen to this later, or anyone else that's an expert, the Albi guys would probably be the best to talk to. I think it's possible with the NWC right now.
The question, so we have spoken to Nick and we don't have a solution yet. Yeah. Talking to Matt Carallo, don't have a solution yet. The key is custodial versus non-custodial. So an app developer doesn't want, most app developers don't want to become an unlicensed MSP.
But I think you can do this non-custodial with NWC.
And with on-chain, Bitcoin on-chain works, but anything that actually scales in instant low fees, it's not clear how to do it. Non-custodial.
Let's do his homework. Let's check on if Nostra Wallet Connect can work or not and report back next week. Yeah, my intuition is that it can.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that homework.
And if there's anyone here listening, like...
But more generally, one observation, we actually said it as one of the six goals for the Flint community. And we talked about that last week briefly, but didn't really give it a lot of color. Mm-hmm. But that is through application development, protocol
what
development.
Works and what doesn't. Exactly.
Find what works and what doesn't work. Because, I mean, I say use Solana in jest. Because
you better be saying it.
But I'm being intentionally provocative to myself. Because,
I know.
My full-time job is with Spiral. So to motivate my own team and other protocol developers in the space, I want to be able to take use cases from Flint. And, I mean, anywhere in the world, but specifically, Flint, I think, will generate use cases that will need improvements to the protocol, and this will be influential with protocol devs.
Something that I think Nostra Wallet Connect was never designed to solve, which I'd like to do is, and I don't know if this, I think you may have already raised some of this, but I'd like to be able to do something like a Lightning payment into an address that I don't control and that nobody controls, but that I could sign a message and have it effectively send it to people based on some conditions.
You mean like burn?
Well, no,
a DLC like thing. So we have DLC his app Lightning. Would be the Oracle.
Oh right. This is right. Yeah,
and saying this outcome, yes or no, and then at some point, some future, so money flows in and is held in something.
Who's holding it?
Well, ideally a smart contract. Ideally a smart contract.
Okay.
And then at some future point, then the Oracle says, "This here's the answer," and that.
But the Oracle doesn't custody the
and
funds.
That unlocks.
No, I understand.
NWC
doesn't
do that.
Okay. Yeah. If any of the Albi guys are listening, and you think it can, please let us know. Otherwise, yeah, let's explore that next week. I don't know.
I think it. My exploration is, I think it would require some R&D with DLCs on Lightning, mm-hmm. or DLCs on Arc, or an arcade.
Or Covenants.
The Covenants on-chain, I don't think move the needle for this particular application.
You want cheap and fast payments that Lightning does, right?
So. Yeah.
And you can already do it on-chain without
without
Covenants.
We should talk to the Albi guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was interacting with Claude, and Claude recommended looking at Albi and looking at Nostra Wallet Connect and looking at Primal, and it was not convinced that I could do what I'm trying to do with those tools, but happy to do more research, especially if you have some direction to point me toward.
Albi.
Yeah, so Justin's saying do something like that with Fediment. Yeah, so I think...
That's a good idea, too, actually.
Well, the eCash stuff you can, but again, it's custodial. So,
sort of. I mean, yeah, it is, but yeah. Anyways, okay, that's
there's definitely a regulatory question. I mean, Fediment less so than Cashew, but there's definitely regulatory questions. I mean, I think this stuff will be built out. It'll be built out now with regulatory gray area, and some people around the world run it, and some people people have different risk profile. People are in different jurisdictions.
Totally.
People have different user bases.
Yep.
So
and
there's
are not
nothing preventing people from doing that today with Lightning
robots.
Or Fediment or anything. But to make things even more bulletproof with mm-hmm. respect to governments and regulations and reducing risk, the most self-custodial we can make it, the better.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think the big takeaway for me is your point that this is forcing us to actually build protocols that deliver value.
Yep.
Yeah, this becomes like there's like that yin and yang, a kind of bootstrap of infrastructure, apps pull more features out of infrastructure, infrastructure gets better, enables more new types of apps to be built. And that's
totally
kind of,
that's where we are.
I think before Flint, we didn't really have a hub of activity trying to pull features, you know, yep. trying to push application development forward to pull features out of infrastructure. And I think now Flint can help serve that purpose.
Yeah. One other thing I want to mention on the vibe coding piece, this could lead us down a whole nother rabbit hole, but I do want to mention the BTC AI trade as well.
Is this is this going to address the collateralized Bitcoin idea you had?
I can. Yeah, that's where I'm going to go with it next. Okay. And I actually have a couple people that could do that, and maybe someone on this show can help me with that. But the other magic moment for REPL, you asked me magic moments. So all the payment was one. There's another one that I think is underrated that REPL nailed. And that magic moment is buying a URL.
Mm-hmm.
For all my life, I've had not only app ideas, but URL ideas. I love URLs. And I have a bunch. I, you know, go to Namecheap and just like, that's a great URL. But like, I don't end up doing anything with them because, you know, I couldn't build an app. And it's also just very painful. Like, again, if you have to buy on Namecheap and then point to the correct DNS and is Cloudflare working, it's just like, ugh, I hate it. But now on REPLIT, on REPLIT, I was just like, dude, I've started registering all these websites. Now it's if you actually ask where my money's really going to go, it's going to be to registering domains. Like, it's about to just go vertical, the domain registration.
This is the NFT that will win.
But seriously, so, because all you have to do is just be like, look for a domain name and it will show you, like, if you type in, for example, I was like, oh, like Zap Meme, MemePay, Meme.lol, all these things, and you can just see all of the relevant ones that come up. Click it. They already have your credit card on file. Buy. Done.
But what about DNS risks, Max?
We're going to get to that in a second.
But why even waste time on something that requires DNS?
I know where you're going with this. We can open that can of worms again. But my takeaway is, and I'm not going to say it because the meme I use is probably a little too inappropriate for school, but I've started... Anjali and I have this idea for this like kind of like dinner we're going to host.
We're already not a G-rated program.
I know.
It's your F-bombs. You know, my mom watched an episode and she commented on the F-bombs.
I'm sorry. I didn't even know I used. Did I use an F-bomb?
Yeah.
I apologize. I should probably clean up my mouth a little bit. But anyways, just the magic experience of I have an idea, like in building a website, it was so easy. And it's like, why wouldn't you just get a cool, like anything you ever do, like an event, or like, I don't know, just like a funny idea. Like it's like each meme can have its own webpage. I bought, you know, some of these URLs for like $7 and they're good.
Yeah.
And I was shocked they were still there. So that to me was like a truly magic moment as well. It's just so easy to launch. I don't know why, like, but I really care about URLs.
I have an app idea for you to build.
Yeah.
Something that, so use AI to identify the highest value domains available on the cheap.
This is alpha.
Buy them and then
alpha.
Flip them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And just do it all automatically.
Yeah. This is alpha.
That's like an automated arbitrage.
Play. Steve just gave you a way to make $1 million.
There you go.
If anyone wants to,
I really
do
think you can make $1 million for that.
Probably could.
Steve, maybe this could be your Flint app.
All
right. Ooh. But as Rom said, actually, that's what Sailor is known for. Right. He's been hoarding domains forever.
Mike.com.
That's actually a great idea. That'll make.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like these, I think in like the poly markets, the world, prediction markets, you could build tools with AI that actually arbitrage differences. Like, didn't you point out was that you pointed out the difference in pricing across Polymarket to Kalshi?
Yeah. Enormous differences. I haven't studied that because I don't understand why that's not closing.
Yeah.
Is there a permissionless monetary system that could allow people to close on top of it?
I mean, honestly, like it needs
a little arbitrage.
There's a little bit more research to figure out why this seems obvious and why is no one closing that gap.
It seems like back in the day when Sam Bankman-Fried was doing the Japanese arbitrage.
Yes, anyone who wants to play the
Korean,
follow
the
SBF SBF playbook.
Here yeah, just do the SBF playbook, and you can be in jail.
But then also put your money in Anthropic, and it made everyone 100x more. So,
The example that I saw too, it wasn't like, oh, one market says 72% and the other is 71%. It was like one said 72 and one was like 30%. I mean, there's like these enormous gaps.
In the article or something attributed to like different ideology. Well, it's like if there's different ideologies, there's somebody who's going to make money bridging that ideology.
I don't think we talked about it on the show, but what one thing, when we were talking about prediction markets in our private group chat.
This is getting ridiculous. Seriously, just add that to the BBJ chat.
I'm curious about exploring, like, for people who are excluded from Polymarket and Kalshi today because they can't sign up or they're in the wrong country or this or that. I don't know if you have to create a competitor to them. Just create a new product that services people around the world with permissionless money to get that part of the market, and then just feed that into Polymarket or Kalshi.
Yeah,
totally. Now you have to maybe that's gray area, and it might be tricky to.
That sounds kind of legit.
Yeah,
it is.
What are the problems?
Well, I don't know.
I like, you just dropped two different multi-million dollars.
I agree.
Oh, you didn't yet pick that up in Signal.
So, I must have missed
the signal. Not enough signal was not there. But
to be clear, you need a permissionless monetary stack to do that art.
Yeah.
But you're saying you control a Polymarket account and you control a Kalshi account.
And then you just market
to people like, hey, send me Bitcoin and tell me what you want to do. And
yes. It's genius.
Yeah.
That seems like a great idea.
It seems like, but I mean, someone needs to take some regulatory risk for that.
What's the risk?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's regulatory risk. I just wonder if Kalshi or Polymarket would shut your account down. Because if you just have one account and it's like this $1 billion account or whatever, some like outsized type of account, you're going to be.
You could probably pick up a few million bucks here and there before they notice.
Steve literally just gave away two multi-million dollars.
Ideally, you're building something that like is. Legal and sustainable.
But also, if you were to build such a thing, and then you have all this demand aggregated for people who are locked out of the system, you also have kind of a marketing engine to build
exactly,
and a then competitive you could, system.
And then you could use that. So first, you are open market make, and then you launch.
I guess the big insight that I thought I had is that you don't have to beat them to be initially successful. You can be successful by leveraging them, and then maybe even replace them long term.
And the idea, I think I've shared with you guys the thing that I've been working on in prediction markets, but I think everybody should be able to launch their own prediction markets, and they provide their own liquidity and they provide their own kind of like effectively like market making on that. So that, you know, if we wanted to have a prediction market, like what's the peak number of viewers for PBJ today, we could actually launch that market and people could sort of express their opinion with money, and it doesn't need to be necessarily within the kind of regulatory.
We regime. Should bring back our 2026 predictions and launch each of those in the market.
Mm. Yeah.
What's the name of that San Diego-based Bitcoin prediction market we talked about on the show?
Before? Predix?
Predix, yeah. I think I'll follow up with them.
Thanks for doxing them.
Why don't they do that? No, it's public information.
You're saying, why don't they do the thing?
Doxing, like where they're located?
I'm sort of joking. Okay.
San Diego's a little city.
I mean, it's public information. Google it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've thought about this or that's a direction they could go.
That's a cool
Otherwise,
idea.
I mean, they're at risk of like just being this like super niche player that never goes anywhere, doesn't get enough volume.
I almost think your idea is it's
an arbitrage
idea.
It's
a small, maybe money idea. It's only millions of dollars, not billions. But I think from a marketing impact idea, it actually could be worth billions.
I think there's also a meta point here. And this is something I talked about a little bit yesterday with Matt. I won't scoop him all. I'll talk about it in the Nostra context. But open protocols always have this opportunity to suck all of the liquidity into them.
Right.
I think this is how things like Bitcoin and Nostra end up winning is anytime. I mean, this is just like basic. Like if you have a closed market and someone can take, and by definition being closed, there are players that can't interact with that market. There's always an opportunity to like suck the liquidity from the closed market and free it.
Serve the underserved,
liberate.
So Justin's saying that maybe Predix supports that. I played with Predix. I don't I didn't see that they support what I'm talking about, but I'm going to go play with it again and maybe and chat with the founder as
well. I'm kind of excited about this. If they don't bite on it, maybe I will.
All righty.
If you do really well, would you consider dropping a dollar tip on being paid on app? I know it would be a large. Do we want to at least mention the trading point, or is that the investment idea, or is that
the collateralized Bitcoin? Yeah, actually, let's talk about it, because I could imagine a bunch of different ways it would work, and I wanted to hear what they had to say about it.
So last thought, you know, we started off the episode talking about AI. We'll end the episode talking about AI. So there's been some chatter about why, quote unquote, Bitcoin is underperforming. And that's relative to gold. Gold's been mooning. Bitcoin is not. There are a lot of theories out there. You know, Nick and others have been talking about quantum, maybe. I don't know. Other reasons, maybe. I don't know. But the one that just like really resonates with my gut is that a lot of the, and there's this guy, I think Jordy Visser or something is his name. He had a Substack article a couple of months back. We discussed it. It was pretty good, talking about Bitcoin's IPO moment. He has another article that I really liked talking about this point, which is, he actually says something slightly different, but it's related. The big takeaway for me is that I think a lot of OGs are rotating out of Bitcoin and into AI. And the reason they are is not that they think Bitcoin's going to zero, not that they don't like Bitcoin, not that they don't think Bitcoin's a great investment, but they see a civilizational shift happening and just like, frankly, orders of magnitude larger opportunity, making sure they are in the big AI companies. And so I think, this is just my hunch, a lot of them are probably selling Bitcoin to be able to long things like Google, Anthropic, xAI, et cetera. And I think there is a major, major, major opportunity. I've discussed this with a few different founders. I'm discussing it with another one this afternoon. If you think you have the regulatory or cojones clarity to figure this out, hit me up. I think a product that's going to absolutely print is a collateralized loan where you deposit Bitcoin and you're able to easily choose to invest in the major AI companies, whether they're private or public, Google, xAI, Anthropic, et cetera. That's going to print.
And you're going to, the idea is you're going to deposit Bitcoin and you're not selling the Bitcoin. You're
correct.
Using it as collateral.
It's a loan. So this is something Lava could do as an example, but they're focused on, I think, you know, more generic. This is something I think you guys brought up. Bitwise maybe is in a good position. I have some other ideas on some people that could.
Surge is being created out of
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Surge could do it.
Yeah,
Lava
Surge
could do it. I mean, there's now over a dozen Bitcoin collateralized lending companies. Like a few of them could focus on.
The key though, I would say, is you need to either get, like, I think your broker dealer license to allow me to get the Google like just super easily, or have cojones and just YOLO.
I don't like the YOLO approach to this.
I don't either. I'm just saying that's the only barrier I've run up against. If someone can figure out how to do that in a regulatory compliant way, that would be super interesting to me.
Yeah. That, I don't think you're going to get OGs doing it if you, the service provider, are YOLOing. So then you end up basically getting nobody.
Well, I mean, some of these guys may be outside the system. I don't know. The more credible, the better.
By the way, I mean, with respect to people disappointed in Bitcoin's performance versus gold, I mean, we actually talked about that before. It was a talking point on social media. But I think it's a good metric to look at. That's why we brought it up, I think, in the summer. I do think it's a good metric to look at long term, but I don't get in any way disappointed about Bitcoin's performance relative to gold in the past year. I think they're completely independent. You know, gold is increasing because sovereigns are buying it. And what a little bit of research showed me that it's emerging markets, not like
Poland is number one, right?
Poland and
India.
Kazakhstan and India. They're the ones that, I mean, other countries are still buying, but they're the delta, which is really driving the price right now. It's not like some kind of increase in jewelry or semiconductor usage or anything like that. It's sovereigns buying. And those countries are not, like Poland, Bitcoin's not mature enough that Poland's going to instead buy Bitcoin.
Right.
So I don't buy this argument of like, oh, Bitcoin's losing the digital gold narrative to gold. It's like, it just hasn't matured enough yet to be a legitimate option for Poland or Kazakhstan.
If you're Poland,
or,
you
to
know
be clear, maybe it has, but someone needs to go and like sell the Polish central bank.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the cusp, but it's just, it's not there.
But my guess is
I don't feel like Bitcoin is now like tried and lost and regressing.
Right.
It's just still not, it's still maturing. Like we've talked about, Bhutan does have it on the balance sheet, right? So I could imagine a Kazakhstan doing it because they do some mining there and stuff, but maybe they're the next to fall in the next 5 years, but Poland's like 10 or 12 years away or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't. And also, this is not like, this isn't an unprecedented environment where Bitcoin's underperforming S&P 500 or AI stocks or or gold. I mean, just go back through cycles and it's underperformed for 1 to 2 year periods multiple times, right? So that doesn't, to me, the more relevant question is like, you know, what are the next catalysts to increase the price of Bitcoin?
And I want to be clear, I think there's a lot of things going on. I think versus gold, your thesis makes a lot of sense. But I also think that my guess is the people that spotted Bitcoin early, the OG whales, are spotting technological trends. And I don't know if this is true. I think I heard Dario from Anthropic say, you know, 3 years ago, the company didn't exist. They were at $0 in revenue. They're at $10 billion in revenue as at the end of last year. So I think the whales are seeing that.
So you're saying Anthropic has grown so much. You're saying the whales, the Bitcoin whales are seeing that they're selling their Bitcoin to buy Anthropic shares?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Google.
But so some of that is very natural and like should occur. I mean, whether you sell or lend, whatever.
Well, I think there's a big difference between the lending.
But like the there's always going to be equity options that are high risk, high reward and start at a few million and grow into billions. There'll always be that.
That's why it's a great opportunity.
And so capital, like risk taking capital will flow there. So if people bought in Bitcoin early and now, and they've made 1,000x gains and they're looking to allocate some of that to new risk-taking opportunities because Bitcoin's not going to return 1,000x right now.
But I think
startup will. So
that
doesn't mean Bitcoin's bad or failing or it's just a very natural reallocation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I think my point is one thing that I learned from Saylor, we talked about last time, is like a lot of times the big businesses are not the big new flashy thing, but figuring out how to connect the new technology with the old boomer system.
Yeah.
And my point that I'm making is a lot of these people would not be selling. I think if it was ridiculously easy to deposit, get loan, buy the AI stock.
And that may be, I think it may work well as like a private fund structure, right?
I agree.
Like, I mean, you could
want someone to do that
yourself, right?
I thought about it.
Because I was wondering.
But it's tricky. It's like, I basically want someone that's like willing to like do I hate dealing with like regulatory filings and if you become a broker dealer, like that's just not, I'm not going to do that. But if you're that person, you want to do that, hit me up. Like this is a big opportunity.
Yeah, because you could build a small team where you are effectively like managing the thing and helping market and create the liquidity around it.
I agree.
And sort of I'm
trying to sell this to some of my portfolio companies right now. And if someone's listening, they're like, oh shit, this is great. Like hit me up.
I'm saying it may be a technology solution, but it may also be that it works almost like better to start as more of like a private bespoke kind of white glove service.
I agree. I am not going to do the work to figure out the regulatory filings. Regulatory is my like least favorite thing in the world. If you are that person, I think I actually could help you find the market for it. But I'm not going to be the one to like become a broker dealer.
Yeah, so get a broker dealer on the team, and then you run a private.
That's why I'm sitting here right now.
Come talk to me. That's the call to action.
Yeah,
that's a good way to wrap up the show too, because we have a hard deadline today.
Yes, we do. Okay, we're a minute over. Let's get to it.
Yeah. All right, have a good weekend, everyone.
This was fun. Yeah. Peace, y'all.
Peace.